That's terrible. Good morning, folks, and welcome. It's good to be together on this first Sunday of 2026. Goodness me. So welcome. It's good to be together on the first Sunday of a new year and to be sharing in the worship of God together. Lord our God, great, eternal, wonderful, utterly to be trusted, you give life to all, you help those who come to you. You give hope to those who appeal to you. Set our hearts and minds at peace, that we may now bring our prayers and our worship to you confidently and without fear through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing, and we'll stand to sing, Christ Be Our Light, and we're just going to sing three verses of this today, and beginning with the first verse. So we stand to sing. Please be seated. Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity to gather together today. And as we gather, we're mindful of those others who are away from us at this time, or others that are simply not able to share with us this day. We pray for your blessing upon them wherever they may be, and indeed upon us. As we come, Lord, we give you thanks and praise, for you are a mighty and powerful God. You are beyond our sight, above our thought, infinite, eternal, and unsearchable. Your wisdom shines in all your works, and your glory is shown in your goodness to all people. Your grace and truth are revealed in Jesus Christ, the one came amongst us. Therefore, we adore you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, it's in the face of who you are that we confess who we are, that we are not the people that you've called us to be. We confess that we have walked in darkness rather than in light. We confess those times that we have named the name of Christ but have not turned aside from our sin, our selfishness. And we pray that you'll have mercy on us. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, forgive us, cleanse us, quicken our consciences, and help us as we seek to forgive one another, that from this moment we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name, and through the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Five tells us that those who are in Christ are a new creation, that the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. And so we hear the good news of grace, that it is in and through Christ that our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. We take a moment to share a word of peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Announcements are as up on the board. Prayers for both Sonia and Jan's families, as Ian and Bill is getting stronger every day, and he's not going to garden anymore. Ben's lunch is on Friday the 12th. Courtney's on leave for those dates, as is David. We have a council meeting next Sunday and a retreat on the 12th of February at Coralie's house. The annual meeting is coming up on the 15th of March. At that annual meeting, we will be presenting the report from all of the groups within the church. So if that is you, if you'd like to start writing your report for the calendar year 2025. Financials will be presented in August at the congregational meeting in August, because the church now operates on a financial year.
Thank you, Wendy. Now, Xavier and Natasha, I wonder if you could just help me with something here. I'm just going to have a think about the new year. I'm just wondering... Now, I lined this up with Natasha earlier. If you could just hand out a pencil to everyone and one of these cards, that would be excellent. Then I'll lead us at that point. So everyone just needs a pencil and a card, Xavier and Natasha, so I'm not sure. Thanks for that. So just one to everyone, that would be great. Thank you. As you go around. And as that's happening, if I find my notes here. This is just a really brief opportunity just to say goodbye to 2025 and to think about 2026, just in a really simple, brief way. Now, I won't necessarily be asking you to share what you've written down. There might be, if anyone particularly wants to share one of their responses, you're more than welcome to do that. Just cast your mind back a little bit over 2025. Just think about some of the people and some of the things that you're involved in. And then I'm going to ask Xavier and Natasha just to help us with this a little bit. Okay, everyone got a pencil and something to write on? Thank you so much, Natasha. Now, would you like to... Excellent. Now, Natasha, could you reach in here and you'll dig out a bit of piece of paper, and this will be the first thing that we'll do. Okay. Is that what year's got on it on the back there? Has it got a year on it? What's that one? 2025. Okay. So this is about last year. How we go? Can you read that? Well, that's a bit... Do you want me to do that? That's a bit tricky. So 2025. So think about a circumstance that you are thankful for. So what was something that happened during 2025? Situation, circumstance, something that happened that you are thankful for. And just to write that down. Thanks. Xavier, where you go? Another bit of paper there. Okay, what's the year on this one? Let's have a look. So 2025? Okay, so this is another one for last year. And, okay, open that one up and let's see what we got here. So a person that you are thankful for. So when you think back about 2025, someone that you are thankful for, that was part of 2025 for you. Thanks. Okay, Natasha. We've then got two more here. Okay, what year is that one on the other side there? 2026, okay. So this one is thinking about this year. And what have we got there, Natasha? One hope that I have for this congregation. Excellent. Okay, so one hope that you have for this congregation in 2026. One hope that you have for this congregation in 2026. And this is the one that I'd like to kind of share at some point, you know, maybe over coffee. Certainly let me know. That would be great. If you just sort of shoot a message or an email or something to me about this. One hope that you have for this congregation in 2026. So that means we only got one left. I should have had some... That's right, I was going to put on some thinking music. I forgot to do that. I think. Anyway. Okay, last one. Here we go. Who am I up to? Xavier. Yours there. Thank you very much. Right here. What year have we got on this? 2026. Okay, so this is another one for this year. And open her up and let's see what's on there. What have we got? Something I want to work on this year. So just jot down something that you want to work on. It might be for yourself particularly. It's not a New Year's resolution as such. It's just something, you know, I'd like to just... Okay. Now, there are some more things in this. Christine, I hope that I should have checked this with you earlier on, but I hope it's okay. I think there's one more thing for both of you. So you reach in and get the last thing out of here. Hey, there we go. Look at that. Look at that. Is that okay, Christine? Is that okay? There we go. So thanks very much for that. Excellent. So so you can share that between whoever you want to, but certainly Natasha. You want to take one, Natasha? Thank you. Excellent. Thanks for that. And now have a seat. Thank you for your help. And we'll have a prayer shortly. And folks, I hope that that's just a little bit of an opportunity to think about last year and this year. And I'll share in a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for carrying us into this new year. Thank you for every lesson, every closed door that protected us, and every open door that revealed your grace over the last 12 months. As 2026 begins, we thank you not just for blessings we see, but for the ones still unfolding in your perfect time. Thank you for strength in our weakness, for peace in uncertainty, and for your hope that anchors our hearts. We place this year in your hands, trusting that you go before us, that you walk beside us and remain faithful through it all. Whatever comes, we thank you in advance, for you are already there. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing, What Child Is This? We share in our Bible reading from John chapter 1. As Coralie comes forward to read that, we hear lots of words that, thanks Coralie, you're right, in these first 18 verses that are themes for John throughout his gospel. So things like life, light, darkness, witness, truth, world, belief, and glory are themes that John picks up, and we hear them in these verses. Thanks, Coralie.
Right, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18 from the Good News Translation. Right, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on all people. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him, so he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of human father. God himself was their father. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. John spoke about him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'He comes after me,' but he is greater than I am because he existed before I was born. Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side, he has made him known." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So if you'd like to take those cards or bits of paper that you had to write on about last year and this year, I mentioned that if anyone would like to share, there's no obligation to do so, but if anyone would like to say something of what they've written there, either something to be thankful for or something for this year. Thanks, Rob.
The skill of
surgeons. So for the surgeon in hospital, that for the op that Robert had, and for his quick recovery, so thankful. And we certainly are very thankful for medical staff who do extraordinary things, really. So thanks, Rob. Thanks, Fiona, for your daughter. Yes, for your daughter, the happiness that comes with that. Excellent. Dawn?
I was just going to say what a joy it's been.
Yes. So Dawn's just saying thankful for those who have come over recent months and a part of our life together. Is that a reasonable way to sum up that? Thanks, Dawn. Yes, Marion?
My two nieces gave birth to...
Who was that, sorry?
My two nieces.
Your two nieces gave birth to some very healthy and happy babies. And so very thankful for that. New life. Okay. Let's turn to this passage from John's Gospel, John chapter 1. And I'm a big fan of the Indiana Jones movies, except the second one. That's the one with the child slaves and someone grabbing people's hearts and putting... Not so much about that one. The others are... except the fourth one with the Cate Blanchett one where she plays some mean German, or they're always mean Germans in that... So the second and the fourth one, but gee, the first, third and fifth one, really great, really enjoy them. In fact, I watched the fifth one again just yesterday, the final installment of Indiana when he's much older, and see what happens. Now, I'm not sure what George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, what their thoughts are about God, faith, whatever, but it's really interesting that again and again what comes up in these movies is something... some artifact that connects with faith, particularly Christianity. So Indiana Jones and the Lost Ark. So the first movie, they're looking for the Ark of the Covenant and various other things in the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which is it's the one with Sean Connery. Great combination, Sean Connery and Harrison Ford. Anyway, so they're looking for, against the Germans, you know, are looking for the Holy Grail, so the grail that Christ drank from at the Last Supper. And even in the last one, even though it's not much of a mention there, one of the opening scenes is where they find a scabbard or a spear that is purported to be the one that... turns out to be a fake, but it's just interesting that they weave in various parts of the story, either as the main focus or just by the way of these religious artifacts. in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which is where they're looking for the Holy Grail, and there's this legend of these three knights who protected this, and they drink from it, and it gives them this life that extends. And the last little bit is where Indiana... anyone seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? Excellent. Thanks, Marion. Thanks, right, yep, I see that hand. Excellent. And there's the last bit. So Sean Connery's been shot, and, you know, his son Indy needs to get the Grail because it has this legend of being able to restore life if you drink from it. But he has to pass these three tests to get from where he is to where the last night of the crusade is held up with the Grail. And there's three challenges he faces. One's called the breath of God, the second's called the word of God, and the third's called the path of God. The breath of God is that it's about the penitent man shall pass, and so he has to kneel down. If he doesn't, otherwise, I won't go into any detail there. But the second one is the word of God, where he needs to step onto this floor that has letters all over it, and he needs to spell out the name of God and step on that particular one. And he steps on one, almost falls to his doom down this great chasm because he forgets that it'd be spelt in Latin, and he realizes that the first letter of the name Jehovah in Latin is an I and not a J. So he almost doesn't make it. But the word of God, and I thought about this, well, what's the connection? Like the challenge is the word of God, but what he has to do is spell out the name of God. What's the connection between the word of God and the name of God? Well, in Hebrew thought, those two things are inseparable. The name of God and the word of God are two sides of the one coin. They reflect this intimate and inseparable relationship between the two, between the word of God and the name of God. So both of those things reflect God's essence. They reflect God's character. Again, we're thinking about Hebrew thought here. And they reflect God's action. Indeed, God's word is always an action. God's words are not just said for the sake of saying things, but God's word is always an active thing. Something follows. In Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light. The word of God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be, and there was. And God said, and there was. So God's word always is about something active. And so we have it right from the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. The word of the Lord is there. We follow through the rest of the Old Testament. The prophet spoke the word of the Lord. The Lord God said, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Isaiah, something happened. Ezekiel chapter 37, the valley of dry bones, the voice of the Lord said, speak to these bones. So, word of the Lord, action, and it's the prophets who spoke the word of the Lord. And then we get to the New Testament, and it comes this extraordinary claim in John chapter 1, which we'll come to in a moment. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 1 says in the past, and so we talked about the prophets. So in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, but in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. It's almost John 1. In the past, God spoke to through the prophets, but in these days, God has spoken through his Son, through whom all came into being. The Magician's Nephew was written by C.S. Lewis as part of the... It was actually the sixth book in the Chronicles of Narnia series. It was written after, like The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, a couple of others. But C.S. Lewis writes it as a prequel. So chronologically, it's the first book in the series, but it was published as the sixth... It's all good. So Magician's Nephew chronologically is the first book in the series of the Chronicles of Narnia. For it tells of Narnia's creation, and it tells of how the wardrobe came to be that the children will later walk through. In The Magician's Nephew, C.S. Lewis describes the moment that Narnia comes into being. At first, there's nothing, darkness and silence. Then Aslan, which is the great lion, begins to sing. And as Aslan sings, things start to happen. The ground forms, hills rise, rivers appear, stars shine. And Aslan's song isn't simply this beautiful song that echoes out. It actually does something. It makes the world. It creates. And later, Aslan speaks to the animals, and his words give them life, the ability to think and to choose. Probably rings a few bells for us, really, doesn't it? You see, because it reflects C.S. Lewis's clearly influenced by his Christian understanding of the world. And it's reflected in The Magician's Nephew. You see, that's what John is saying here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. God's Word's not just words, as we know them. It's not just talk, but God's Word creates, gives life, gives meaning. And in Jesus, that word comes to live among us, is the claim of John's gospel. Now, at a couple of points here, I'm going to get a bit nerdy in a couple of Greek words, okay? But it's important that we understand what these words mean. So if any of us are a bit nerdy, then you'll be feeling very good about this. So in the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. There's a sense that the Word was with God. So this word with, which is pros, P-R-O-S, it's not about location. So it's not like, the Word was over here. It's actually describing a relationship. It's about the relationship, not the location. So it said the Word was with God, that the Word was intimately connected with God. That's what the sense of this is. And the word for, and I know you've probably had a sermon or two about this, but the word logos, L-O-G-O-S, logos. And in Greek thought, okay, because many people back in when this has been written, be very influenced by Greek thought, logos, and logos is not just a Bible word, it was a word that was around, and a lot of the Greek philosophers saw it as, and used it as an impersonal, rational principle. That's what they thought logos was, this impersonal, rational principle. But that's not how John uses it. For John, the word, the logos here, is dynamic, it's relational, it's personal, and it's real. Real. It's flesh and blood. Verse 14 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I just want to touch on that a little deeper and then touch on one implication. There's numerous others, but just to focus in, just time for only one this morning. What's the so what? The so what question. What's the implication of the Word becoming flesh? Does it merely matter? Okay, I want to talk about that. And a warning here, there's a bit more nerdiness about to come. The Word became flesh, This is this Greek word sarx, S-A-R-X. And when the Apostle Paul uses it, he uses it to refer to sinful human nature, that the flesh is weak, it's sinful, that kind of thing. But here in John chapter 1, verse 14, it's used to affirm Jesus' whole humanity. It's used here to affirm that Jesus becomes a real physical person, not merely appearing human. The word became flesh, sarx. And the last little Greek word here, and dwelt. And I'm sure you've had sermons about this word dwelt. That it means tabernacled. Tabernacled. So the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us and lived amongst us, was present with us. So just as God's presence in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament, God's presence was there in this portable tabernacle that would move around, and there was a special part of that tabernacle where God's presence was. It's the same sense here that the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us, that lived amongst us, was known, and that God is now present, not in a tent, but in a person. Jesus is the true meeting place between heaven and earth, between God and humanity, full of grace and truth. There's a whole sermon here on this verse about being full of grace and truth, but suffice it today for me to point to Tim Keller's reflections on this, who says truth, and again, that Jesus is full of grace and truth, that truth without grace becomes crushing moralism, and that grace without truth becomes empty sentimentality. Jesus incarnates both, confronting sin truthfully and covering sinners graciously. I said there's a whole sermon in that, but suffice it for that. So what's the implication of this? That's really great. So what? And just to say one implication, just to point out one so what of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And that is this, that in Jesus Christ there is compassion, comfort in our suffering. And this is distinct from every other world religion. Among religious or philosophical thought, to present God as one presents God as one who remains apart from us, remains aloof from us, distant, and one that is not touched by pain. Christianity says, no. Christianity says the eternal Word, the eternal Logos, the eternal reason for meaning and identity, steps into a moment of history in a particular place, at a particular time, and embraces all of the vulnerability that goes with such an incarnational act. This God, born and placed in a manger that we sang about a couple of weeks ago, this God born and placed there flees into Egypt through the risk of death at the hands of a vicious despot. As a man walked the dusty streets of country and village and towns, knew hunger and thirst and tears and tiredness, there is not an experience of life where we can say, oh, God doesn't know what I'm going through, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We can't say that. If we've been betrayed by someone close to us, Jesus knows that. to grieve at the grave of a close friend, this word became flesh who dwelt among us, did that. And in fact brought new life to this close friend of Lazarus. Experiencing deep suffering that is just that we're struggling with, well, Jesus did. Do we feel abandoned by everyone, including God? Take a look at Jesus on the cross, quoting from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Feel like God is not answering your heartfelt prayer as you would want to? Then look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, take this cup from me. And even in death, Jesus, the Word made flesh, knows that. So this is one of the implications of verse 14, that in Jesus there is compassion, empathy, and comfort in any suffering. This means many things, but in essence it means that comfort and hope in God is not just wishful thinking. It means that when we and others cry out, does God care? The answer is yes. Because of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. God cared enough to enter into this crazy, mixed up, nonsensical world with all of its frailty and vulnerabilities and suffer for and with us. Not for His sake, but for ours. So when all those unanswerable questions come, as they do, either asked by us or someone that we know, we can point to Jesus, who knows the full extent of human pain. We do this not glibly or nonchalantly or, oh, by the way, here's something that is good news to cheer you up, but rather with hearts and words embedded with compassion and authenticity, sitting, if needs be, with people in their pain and their sadness and their struggle, but always pointing to Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. To finish. A couple of weeks ago, we sang the extraordinary Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, written by Charles Wesley, and the tune is one that was written by Mendelssohn. What a combination. Verse 2, we sang this. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Verse 12, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Amen. During this next hymn, which is Never in All Human Story, which we don't sing very often, but it's in Together in Song, remain seated as our offering is received.
Jesus Christ,
Lord our God, we thank you. We thank you for all that you have given to us and for us. As we bring of ourselves this day, we pray for your blessing upon what we give, for the furthering of your kingdom here amongst us, but also through the Christmas bowl and in myriad other ways. Let your blessing rest upon this now, in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Gemma's away today, and so I'll be leading us in this brief prayer for others. Lord God, as we come to share the richness of your table shortly around the Lord's table through Holy Communion, we cannot forget the rawness of the earth. And so we pray, Lord, for those who are known to us, and we lift them to you who are in a place of care, who are struggling with different aspects of life. Our prayers continue for Bill in his ongoing recovery and for Jan as well. Our prayers continue for Ian at Tarry Bray, that you'll reassure him and Sonia of your presence and of your peace. We are conscious, Lord, of those others who were known to us in the life of our congregation and beyond, who we simply lift to you now. Lord, shortly we cannot take bread and forget those who are hungry. Your world is one world, and we are stewards of its nourishment. We pray for the just and proper use of your creation, for the victims of hunger, fear, and injustice. Lord, we cannot take the cup and forget those who are thirsty. We pray for all who are unwell, who mourn, who are in danger or any kind of trouble. We cannot hear your words of peace and forget the nations at war, or if not at war, then preparing for it. Our prayers continue for Ukraine and Russia, the situation in Gaza, and other trouble spots across this world. Show us quickly, Lord, how to turn weapons into welcome signs and the desire for power into a desire for peace. We cannot celebrate the feast of your family, Lord, and as the body of Christ forget our divisions. We are one in the spirit, but not in fact. We pray for the peace and unity of the church, that the church in its brokenness may be healed and unified. We once again commit ourselves to you this day, this week, and this year, doing so in and through the name of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Today we share in the Lord's Prayer. We're going to sing it. One of the things that we normally do at New Year's Eve is sing Auld Lang Syne. And today we're going to sing the Lord's Prayer to the tune of Auld Lang Syne. For those of you who are big Cliff Richard fans, you'll know that he did this back in the year 2000. I'm no Cliff Richard, although I'm a huge fan, but we'll be able to do this. Now, it's a very simple tune, okay? Just play it, perhaps play a little bit just to get it into the heads. So just follow that through, and I'll kind of lead us a bit, but those of you who know the Lord's Prayer sung to this tune, please sing confidently and boldly. That would be good.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in today our daily bread, and forgive us.
And so we come to Holy Communion. Here the Lord's table is an open table, and for those within the fellowship of the Christ people who would want to know him more, you are welcome to share in this supper. For this is the table not of the church but of the Lord. It has been made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. Come not because I invite you. It is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. We do not presume, merciful Lord, to come to your table trusting in our own goodness, but in your many and great mercies. We're not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to gather at this table that we may evermore dwell in Christ and he in us. Amen. We hear the story of how this sacrament began. On the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples, and while they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, it is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me." Later on, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood, drink from it, and as you do, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world which God will make special, and we come to God with our prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts, lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and right to give you our thanks and praise, O God, for you have baptized us into one body and anointed us to proclaim your reign in all the earth. The earth and sky which you created proclaim your genius from one day to the next. The law you gave through Moses stands forever to revive us and guide us. You sent your word among us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Anointed with your Spirit, he came with good news for the poor and a message of release for the captive, sight for the blind and freedom for the oppressed. He was put to death by the proud and powerful, but you raised him to new life and made us all members of his body so that with all our gifts working as one, we might fulfill your mission in the world. And so we join our voices to those of the church on earth and in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, pour out your Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and this fruit of the vine, that we may know Christ's presence real and true. Make us one with him, one with each other, and one in ministry in the world, until at last we feast with him in the kingdom. Amen. When we break the bread, is it not a means of sharing in the broken body of Christ? And when we give thanks over the cup, is it not a means of sharing in the spilt blood of Christ poured out for us? Jesus is the Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us your peace. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, the body and blood of Christ given for you. We share now, for all is prepared. Christ keep us to eternal life. Amen. The blood of Christ keep us to eternal life. Amen. We pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in the sacrament, that you have united us with Christ and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. We offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. In the name of Christ. Amen. We sing our final song for this morning, Let Earth and Heaven Combine. We stand to sing. Thank you. 305. Well, it sounds like you found your voices there, so we'll do the last verse as well. Starting your phone. Now that you've got some books there, so just the last verse. Reminder that if you haven't already, there's opportunity to sign some condolence sheets for us in a week or two to send to some of the Jewish community following the events in Bondi before Christmas. That continues to be available at the back there. So go out into the world in the power of the Spirit in all things at all times. Remember that Christ is with you. Make your life your worship to the praise and glory of God. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.